I've heard that the Chinese word for crisis also happens to be the word for opportunity. You may have heard that too. Not entirely true, say the linguists, but that thought, crisis equals opportunity, does come to mind when discussing the crisis in Iraq, particularly one of its side effects. And that's the fact that the crisis has brought the United States and Iran together, sort of. Both Washington and Tehran want to help the Iraqi government in its battle against the Sunni militant group ISIS. Barbara Slavin is a senior fellow at the Atlantic Council in Washington and monitors the U.S.-Iran relationship. She says if there is cooperation, it will be limited.
It's not going to be the U.S. and Iran walking off into the sunset together, let's put it that way. But there are things that we can do. We can bolster the official Iraqi forces. The Iranians will do what they do best, namely they will assist various Shia militias in Iraq, which they help create in many cases. And there could be some sharing of intelligence via the Iraqi government, very similar to the model that we saw back in 2001, when the United States and Iran tacitly cooperated in overthrowing the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. We also have a high-level direct channel to talk to Iran, which we lacked in those days. Our Deputy Secretary of State has just been in Vienna talking to the Iranian foreign minister on the margins of the nuclear talks.
Right. Run us down that nuclear sideline for a moment. I mean, if there is some kind of cooperation between the U.S. and Iran on Iraq, what effect would that have on any kind of nuclear deal?
Well, I personally think that the whole Iraq crisis is going to push Iran even harder to reach a deal. The Iranians already have ample incentive because of these economic sanctions, which have been so punishing to the Iranian economy. Now the Iranians are trying to prop up the Assad regime in Syria. They've been doing that for 3 years, and that's coming at quite a large cost, certainly financially and in other ways, to the Iranians. And now we have this crisis in Iraq with the Maliki government trying to keep these barbarians at bay from the gates of Baghdad. So I think the Iranians want a nuclear deal anyway, but now I think this is going to push them even further.
So what does this moment mean for you and just the whole idea of U.S.-Iran relations? Is this kind of an exciting moment for you?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've been arguing, you know, for going back to the early Bush administration that George W. Bush made a tremendous strategic blunder when he decided to go after all terrorism of global reach. That meant he wasn't just focused on Al-Qaeda, which had attacked us, but he broadened it to countries like Iran, which support groups like Hezbollah and Hamas that are on the State Department's terrorism list. I thought that was a colossal mistake because there are times when you can cooperate, even with an adversary, against a bigger mutual foe. And so here we are again, 10 years later, more than 10 years later, and we've come around once again to the United States and Iran being on the same side against a mutual enemy. Now, you may argue that Iran has made deals with Al-Qaeda in the past, and it certainly has. Iran is a very savvy player. Be that as it may, we do have a mutual enemy now, and we have a mutual interest in at least tacitly cooperating against it.
You seem to make the case that this could be the start of a beautiful relationship. You also point out...
No, I don't, actually.
No?
You know, I don't see us walking off into the sunset together. It's going to be, you know, the best we can hope for is a kind of very careful détente, where we sometimes cooperate, but we often disagree. Look at the détente we had with the Soviet Union. There were many disagreements and much continued rivalry, but we were able to talk to each other. We had embassies in each other's capitals. And from time to time, we actually were able to cooperate on issues of mutual concern. Nobody, you know, I've compared Iran and the United States to a couple that's gone through a bitter divorce. And no one expects us to get back together in the same intimate way that we were under the Shah. But we can cooperate occasionally, and it would be good for the children, namely the people of the United States and the people of Iran and the people of the Middle East.
Barbara, what do you think American options in Iraq would look like right now if there wasn't this opportunity to cooperate with Iran?
I think we would be in an even worse situation. I mean, it's pretty bad already. But now we do have a possibility of at least having some support from a very powerful neighbor, namely Iran. Another factor which I hadn't mentioned is that there might be some tacit cooperation on removing Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who has been such a disaster in Iraq. It's possible that the United States and Iran could agree on a replacement who would be less polarizing.
What do you think Iraq's Shia majority, how would they react if they kind of knew that the U.S. and Iran essentially tried to unseat Maliki?
I'm not sure. I don't know how popular Maliki really is among the Shia. He certainly has no friends among the Sunnis and probably not very many among the Kurds. He has governed in an extremely dictatorial way. He has tried to monopolize all power. He's the interior minister and the defense minister, in addition to being prime minister. And, you know, he's alienated a lot of people. And surely in this community, which has many very sophisticated individuals, you know, the United States could find someone it prefers, and I think even Iran could.
What most concerns you right now in terms of the U.S. And Iran, and what might be, you know, at stake if with some cooperation on Iraq?
Given how unstable the region is, and this is a region in flames from one side to the other, if the United States and Iran can reach this sort of détente, that'll be the only positive development in the Middle East that I have witnessed in some time. It does give the United States more leverage. It gives the United States more options. And even though the Saudis and the Israelis may not like it, the more options we as the United States have, the better.
Barbara Slavin, Senior Fellow at the Atlantic Council, thank you as always.
Sure, my pleasure.